All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Oh, welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David, this show is a party.
Dude. Super, you know, party.
Usually we're very solemn, very sober, take a serious analysis of today's current events in the movie exhibition industry.
I almost never laugh.
No, but this week you hung the confetti, you hung the crepe paper, you know, the full-size, life-size cutout poster of Beyonce.
Yeah.
And shit's getting real.
Yeah. I mean, I was wondering when I was going to use that cutout.
Right.
I'm glad I finally found a reason.
Right. I like all the gold balloons. I like the fact that they're all gold, but all just slightly different shades of gold.
Well, do you like how I got the balloons, the 177 balloons to celebrate 177 episodes?
Right.
Congrats. We did it.
Those can be hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of times the 177 is a hard balloon to find.
Right. But
a lot of places will sell you a 175 balloon.
Yeah.
Or a 180.
But 177?
Right.
They're coming back. They're coming back. You just watch.
Yeah.
Man, we've got a show and a half this week.
Speaking of parties.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy? It's like, all right, if you're listening to this in current, you know, normal release time, we're a little late this week, but that all of this was news we would have had on Sunday when I put the notes together. There's like almost, that's like, it was just a busy week last week.
Yeah, well, there was lots of parties, there's graduation parties, there's engagement parties, and the biggest party of them all, Tom Hardy announced on Instagram that writing has officially begun for your most anticipated movie, the third Venom movie.
Mm.
How exciting is that?
Man, you know, the only thing that was more disappointing last week than hearing this news was the fact that your girls didn't call me on Father's Day.
That's the first time in years.
I know. I sat by the phone all day around 9:30 rolled by, and I was like, I guess it's a little late for the call now. Maybe I'll just go to bed.
Yeah. You know? Well, we were busy with Father's Day parties, which, frankly, now where were you? Like, how come you didn't get the call? You should have been there.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't get. I had my swimmies like on my arms and everything. I was ready to go. Suntan lotion stripes under my eyes and on my nose. And I was like, any second now, I'm gonna get the call. It's time for the pool party. But
David in his swimmies.
Yeah, I was like, I'm floating around, don't worry.
I picture your swim trunks as like having yellow rubber duckies all over them.
Oh yeah, they do. Yeah. And then I also have like a big rubber ducky like waist one with like a little head on it. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, but they all came in handy for swimming through the shit that is Venom 3, the script.
Yeah. Is there any universe where... I don't even want to ask the question because it's dumb. But is there any universe where, in your opinion, they can turn this around?
No.
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 Okay.
No. I mean, the thing is that people liked Venom 2.
Yeah.
So it's going to have an audience.
Yeah.
I mean, I can only hope that Morbius killed that a little bit, but I don't think it did.
What do you call the third movie? Like, the second movie is a sequel. What's the third movie?
It's a trilogy.
A trilogy.
Capping off the trilogy.
Yeah, so capping off the trilogy, there's another sequel that's looking to make itself a trilogy, which is Sherlock Holmes 3. So we got Venom 3 coming, and Dexter Fletcher has now stated that he believes Sherlock Holmes 3, quote, has to be made. He went on to say the pandemic derailed it, but that he does think it'll get made. He doesn't know the timeline, but believes it should be. It's fantastic. It's about the right people being at the right place at the right time, and I think that's it. So it's one of those cruel twists of fate where the pandemic hit, and that scattered people around the world to the wind. But I know, says Dexter Fletcher, that the appetite is huge for it, and I'm sure there are other people acutely aware of that as well. I believe it should be because it's brilliant. I very much hope so. Now, David, my question for you, do you share his enthusiasm for a third Sherlock Holmes?
Look, I have a warm spot in my heart for the first two movies.
Of course.
Do I feel like it's been way too long? Yes.
That didn't stop them from making another Avatar movie.
Right. Right. Will I go see it? 110%. Absolutely. I'll be there. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, the first two were really fun. And, you know, you get Robert Downey Jr.'s only grown in, like, fame. Jude Law's only grown in fame. You get the two back together for a movie where they can just kind of, like, if you let them kind of be free and loose, I think you have a really good movie.
I completely agree with this guy. I never heard of Dexter Fletcher, but I think this movie would do really well. I think people loved the first two, and I agree. I would 100% go see it. And I agree, the appetite is huge for it. And I think here's an interesting twist. I think the extra delay almost like helps it. I feel like a third one right after the sequel might be almost like too soon.
Right. I also agree that when waiting till after Robert Downey Jr.'s exit of the MCU was also a good move because no matter where you put it, you would have been competing with Iron Man in some way.
Right.
You know, and now it's post Iron Man. He can put more attention to it. I do like the line, but I believe it should be because it's brilliant. I very much hope so. Seems kind of like grasping at straws. Like he's like, oh no, that's brilliant. I mean, I hope it is. Right? Right? Everyone loves this, right? Right? Right?
Right? I don't know where his comment, I very much hope so. Is he saying it should happen and he hopes so? Or is he saying it's brilliant? I hope people think it's brilliant.
That's it. Like it can go either way. That's right. The part that's like, where are you? What? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So in big news this week,
this is big news.
Yeah. Last week we talked about how they're working on a script for the Joker too, or as I like to call it, Joker too. This week they came out that Lady Gaga is in preliminary talks to play Harley Quinn in Joker 2. Now, to compound that, if she gets cast, they're saying that they want the movie to be a musical.
Insert long pregnant pause.
Yeah. What do you think of that?
Here's the thing. I love the prospect of Lady Gaga playing Harley Quinn in Joker 2.
Yeah. Okay. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
Great. Hard stop. Let's move on to the next news item. You know what I mean? Like,
but wait, there's more.
Don't answer yet. Because as excited as I would be for that to happen, that's exactly how bad of an idea I think it would be to turn Joker 2 into a musical. I think that's a terrible idea.
I totally agree. Well, no, I don't totally agree. Here's the thing. In the first Joker movie, Joaquin Phoenix was always dancing around to the music in his head. And everyone loved that, right?
Yeah.
So I guess you get Harley Quinn involved, right? The only way that it works is if it has some musical numbers in it. And it's like, remember in Suicide Squad when Harley Quinn is fighting and she sees like flowers when she's hitting everybody?
Yeah.
You could do it that way. where the two of them are sharing the delusion, as long as you show that, like, the way normal people see it is not the same.
I don't even care. What I'm saying is, what you just described does not make it a musical.
No, you're right. That's what I,
And what you just described, I'm on board with. So, some cool, you know, interludes, some fantasy, some music, or also like Lady Gaga singing like the soundtrack or something like that, like whatever. I mean, we know she's a freaking genius. She can do anything she wants. And if there are cool musical interludes, then great. But that's, I don't want it to be a musical.
I think that she's like an appropriately matched Harley Quinn for him too. Like just visually, I think they go together well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a Herculean effort to make Joker 2 live up to the first Joker.
Oh, speaking of Hercules, blah, blah, segue, Guy Ritchie will direct the live action Hercules for Disney. Now, he also did Aladdin. Do you remember the live action Aladdin?
Sure. Is that the one with Will Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I think our review of that was it was okay. Like it was we enjoyed it, but it wasn't like the best thing ever made or anything.
All right, you want to know? All right, let me just share something.
But it's been a while, so here's where Penn goes from loving the movie to hating the movie.
No, did I say I loved it?
I mean, probably at the time.
All right. Well, somebody should go back. I doubt that because I've never been the biggest Aladdin fan. Mm. But here's what I was going to say. And I'm just being honest, right? Because it's just us.
Yeah.
You know, no one else is here. Just us and our beloved listeners. So I don't want this to get out past the Penn Cinema community or the Penn Cinema podcast community.
Right.
Because we're all friends in here. We got a nice little circle. You know, we got a nice – the bubble. We're in the bubble.
Right.
Right. All right. So here's the thing. I want to – if somebody had walked up to me and said, Penn, remember that live action movie with Aladdin? Remember the live action Aladdin movie with Will Smith? And I would have said, yeah, I remember that. And then they said, when did that come out? I would have said, like, I think it was in the 90s. Like, I would have been off by over a decade. But it gets worse. But it gets worse because I would have said, I think it came out in the 90s. And then the person would have said, are you sure? I thought it was more recent. And then here's the coup de grace. This is what I would have said. I would have said, well, I know for sure it came out before 06 because we didn't play it at Penn Cinema.
Oh my God. Oh, what's the original? So I got to look up the original.
Not only did we play it at Penn Cinema, but we didn't even, it was like later, because if we reviewed it on the show, that means like it was within the last, what, 4 years?
It was 2019, May 8th, 2019.
And I would have been like, I think that came out in the 90s.
Oh, but that was, oh my God.
I'm just being, you know, I like to be honest. I like to be real with people. And that, when we started talking about Will Smith as Aladdin.
Had to have been the 90s.
It had to be the 90s.
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and he went straight to that into Aladdin, right? Yeah. Nothing in between.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so Guy Ritchie is going to direct a live-action Hercules. That's great. I'm on board with this movie as long as it's not Dwayne Johnson in the title role. Nothing against Dwayne Johnson, but I'm just overloaded. Like, there's too much. It's too – that is too obvious for me.
You know, I think Dwayne's a little old. I also think this other person's a little old. But I think the second character would have been better, and I think John Cena as Hercules – could have been really funny.
Yeah. Well, this just in, I got some news to share with the group.
Yeah? Breaking news.
Breaking news. I will announce formally on this show here on the Penn Cinema podcast that I am open to discussion about playing Hercules in the live action.
What? You?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. I mean, David, look at these guns.
Multiple Iron Man contender. Penn Ketchum. He's, you know, I forget who it was, but someone was like, why does he do it? And I was like, I don't know. Yeah, but like, a lot of people want to do it for a reason. I was like, because he wants to. Like, what's the big deal?
Yeah, in yeah. other news, we'll just let that one lie. If I shared with you why I do it, I'd have to lie down on a couch and tell you about my life story.
Yeah, well, Molly pulled your hair in fifth grade, I remember you told me.
I love it. I love doing it. But Dakota Fanning and Denzel Washington are set to star in Equalizer 3.
Yeah.
Which comes out in September of 2023. So we're going to play a new feature.
Yeah.
There's a new game. Remember we discussed this at the staff meeting?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah, we got the set piece in. We got the special lighting and the sound music and everything. So I'm going to read the headline again.
Okay.
And you tell me. The new game is called What's the Important Detail? Now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the latest edition of What's the Important Detail? Here's the headline. Dakota Fanning and Denzel Washington will star in Equalizer 3.
Okay.
Out in September 2023. What's the key detail there?
That they're still going to be making movies in 2023.
Nope. The key detail is they're announcing a movie that they obviously have high hopes for, but they're going to release it in September. September is for either throwaway movies or art house movies.
Yeah. Also, do you remember the first Equalizer?
Vaguely. Came out in the 90s, I think.
Can you tell me one person who was in the first Equalizer?
Denzel?
I mean, I don't even know if that's true.
I don't either.
Can you tell me anything about the second movie?
I can't tell you anything about the first movie.
Let me see if it was, came out in 2014. It did star Denzel.
Yeah.
Let's see what happened with the second one. Came out in 2018. I would have never known. Denzel Washington and Pedro Pascal. Yeah. So here's the deal with The Equalizer. What? People watch that movie?
I think this is a paycheck movie for both Dakota and Denzel. And the evidence for my opinion is the September release date.
Yeah, the big news here was that it was their first movie together since some other movie when she was really little.
Okay.
Yeah. So now, you know how excited I am for Avatar.
And so excited.
And the five movies that are coming out.
Right.
I almost never stop talking about it.
Right.
I'm constantly like, Way of the Water? More like, way into my heart is this series.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. So
I noticed while we're trying to record the show.
Yeah.
That I frequently lose your attention as your eyes drift to your left, where you have that big Avatar poster hanging with what's her face, just the half of her face, and I see you like gazing into her eyes.
The single eye.
Right, the single eye. Yes, that's the look.
Does she see me the way I see her? I could be Navi.
Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. So one thing I love more than the Avatar movies that are coming is Avatar The Last Airbender. And they are making three new animated feature films. Well, I say feature, but three new animated films in conjunction with Paramount and Nickelodeon. And the original creators will be there to produce. They have the directors will be prominent directors from the series. Now, there's no indication when in the timeline of the Avatar like universes will take place. Will it be a continuation of Aang? Will it be a different airbender? Will it be Korra? Unknown. All we know is they're making three movies. There are high hopes with everyone involved. And, I'm looking forward to this. I know you are. I can't get you to stop talking about it.
I am looking forward to this. But I will say, I do remember that this did open in Penn Cinema because I was a confused person. when I didn't understand that this was not the least bit related to Avatar.
Right. Now, you have a keen ability to forget about movies. You yes. should probably forget about that movie because it's right. absolutely horrible and does not represent the source material in a way that's appropriate for all.
Well, let me tell you what I remember about that movie.
Yeah.
I did not see it, but I remember being really excited about it. And here's the problem. Have you ever, like, you ever have a friend who's really excited about a certain movie?
I've never had a friend.
And they get so excited that you don't pay attention and you accidentally buy into the hype.
Okay, yeah.
Right? If you're like not totally tuned in and you don't bother to come up with your own opinion.
It's called the Pensino podcast.
You're just hyped. So I got fully hyped for this movie. And as a result, I put it in Theater 2, which is a pretty good sized theater. It's not our prime theater, but it's a pretty good sized auditorium. And it averaged like 10 or 11 people per show. So I should have put it in like Theater 1. Yeah. And I remember opening weekend, I'm like, oh my God, I've made a huge mistake. I didn't do any of my own research. Some of the guys that worked at the theater were super excited for it. And I just totally bought into their hype. And it turned out they were like the only people who were hyped for it.
No. So you're wrong. They were appropriately hyped based off of the show. Because that show has a huge following. But then the reviews came out before the movie came out and was like, if you're a fan of this, don't see this movie. And the fandom heard that and was like, all right, no. Like, I won't even risk anyone defacing this beloved source material.
Speaking of beloved source material.
Gasp.
This is one of the most interesting comments. And in a way, one of the most exciting comments. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, actually, this really got me going, like in a positive way.
Yeah, this is really exciting, really thoughtful, and I was really like it was yet another reason to love this guy. So we're talking about Taika Waititi's Star Wars, and he had a really interesting quote about his movie being very different from the other Star Wars movies. Here's his quote. This is director Waititi. Look, I think for the Star Wars universe to expand, it has to expand. I don't think that I'm any use in the Star Wars universe making a film where everyone's like, oh, great. Well, that's the blueprints to the Millennium Falcon. Or, that's Chewie's grandmother. That all stands alone. That's great. Though I would like to take something new and create some new characters and just expand the world. Otherwise, it feels like a very small story.
Yeah. I think that's great.
I think that's brilliant, and I was really happy to hear it.
Yeah. It'll free him to do like what he does best, storytelling and you know, character.
And it'll take Star Wars and grow the universe, you know, like he said, like for the universe to expand, it has to expand. That's actually a profound statement. I mean, it seems obvious and even like dumb, but it's quite a profound statement. And I trust his track record to do it well.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that we're not going to have a story about Chewie's grandmother.
Yeah. Well, so many times they're like, we're going to expand. And they're like, this is Star Wars Rebels. And it's about some of the rebels, but it always comes back to the like the right. main stuff, like somehow, right. and they right. never can get away with it. But yeah. I mean, speaking of a good track record,
a perfect track record, or almost pretty darn close.
Pretty darn close. We're talking Kevin Feige here. He's held the Marvel Cinematic Universe in high esteem, and he's kept it going for quite some time. And sometimes.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, this would be really interesting for our Marvel fans out there. Podcast at Penn Cinema for an example of something that Kevin Feige did not do well.
Huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I'm not saying the guy's perfect because nobody's perfect.
Right.
But what's your example? What's your example of something that he screwed up? Because I don't have one.
Right.
Right. And again, I'm not trying to put him on a pedestal or say that he's a saint, but I'm just saying, like, he has a pretty freaking great record.
Now, there are some things he was involved in pre-being in charge that weren't always the best,
right.
But he was working his way up the ladder. Now,
yeah,
he says, don't worry, I know phase four has been kind of out there, but we're going to give you a glimpse of where this is all heading real soon, which I think probably means with Thorth.
Thorth.
Yeah. So here's the quote. He says, as we're nearing the end of phase four, I think people will start to see where this next saga is going. I think there have been many clues already that are at least apparent to me of where this whole saga is going. We'll be a little more direct about that in the coming months to set a plan, so audiences who want to see the bigger picture can see a tiny, tiny, tiny bit more of the roadmap. So I really think that Thorth is going to show something that's going to give us a way bigger, like, view of what's to come, because it's kind of been like, it's been out there. It's been, you know, you see something, you're like, oh, this is going to be the big bad, and then the next movie has nothing to do with it. But, like, I think it was more evident with the first couple phases when you realized, oh, they're doing the Infinity Stones, like,
right.
Where it became more clear. But,
right.
Yeah, I think looking back, we'll be able to say, oh, yeah, that was that, this was that, yeah.
Yeah, so. I think it's interesting that he says audiences who want to see the bigger picture can see a tiny, tiny, tiny bit more of the roadmap. I think that's, I don't know, obviously, well, so I think we all want to see the bigger picture, but I think there's a very small audience of people who are astute enough to take those little tiny pieces of the roadmap and figure it out.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sure Frodo has it all figured.
Oh, of course. And Marvel's not even her big thing.
Who's our biggest Marvel fan? Who wants to claim that title? I would give it to Mark Ponce, and
yeah.
Then my second one would be to you. But who else? podcast@penncinema.com. If you think you are our Marvel expert, because we got Thor coming up, and we want to be ready. We want to know what we're getting into here.
Yeah, yeah. So... we had some bad news this weekend. I don't know if it affected you at all. I don't know if you. Yeah, I don't. I feel like you didn't have the Fathom event this weekend, right?
We did.
You did. Okay. So there was a Fathom event this weekend for The Thing. Apparently, Fathom sent out the wrong version of the film. So there are two different ways that they send out the movie. They send it out in the format for digital download in the theater, and then they send it out in a format for DirecTV DVR or something. I think that's the brand. And so
right.
what happened is Fathom sent out the DirecTV DVR to the theaters, and that's the only version they had to show. And people came out to see The Thing, and it was like a third of the movie was chopped off, and everything had weird colored outlines, and it was just a very poor showing. And apparently the backlash for Fathom was really harsh, like really harsh. Harsh enough that supposedly they're sending out hard copy hard drives to the theaters because it was supposed to show Sunday and then this following Wednesday. And the theaters are supposed to get hard drives by Wednesday with the movie on them, like how they used to do it.
I can confirm all of that.
Yeah.
Did you
have anyone complain?
Yeah. I mean, we definitely heard about it, and it's one of those. How do I say this delicately? Sometimes people screw up.
Yeah.
And I felt like the backlash against Fathom Events was undeserved. Now, I could understand, like, you want your money back or you're unhappy and, you know, whatever. But, I mean, Fathom Events has been a great partner to fans on a zillion different areas, you know, and they have a great track record. They always deliver great content. And this is not something like, oh, they don't have their act together. They don't know what they're doing. It's more like, no, somebody, you know, something slipped through the cracks and somebody wasn't paying attention and a mistake was made. I was much more, I did not get my pitchfork out to join the angry mob to march on Fathom.
Yeah. Well, I'm right there with you. I heard about it. I was like, oh man, that sucks. But I've been to so many Fathom events that were like great.
Yeah.
I think that there was an audience, the people that were loud and complaining was a group of audience of people that don't normally go to Fathom events that came out because John Carpenter's The Thing is like their thing. And
yeah,
thus they, I mean, that, one strike and you're out.
That's the risk that you run with somebody like Fathom, is because they cater to so many different audiences, they don't necessarily have, like, they would frequently get an audience who this is their only experience with Fathom events. Yeah. Or this is their first experience. But even still, I mean, Penn Cinema, we have made some mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, I can think of, I know it sounds crazy, but I can think of a number of times off the top of my head where, you know, we played a Star Trek movie that was on 35mm, and, you know, halfway through the movie, the second reel flipped upside down.
Ooh.
You know, you don't come back from that. There's no, you know, with 35mm film, you can't just like, oh, go upstairs and reboot.
Right.
You know, like that is a long mechanical process. You have to unwind the reel. You have to basically deconstruct the reel. You have to take it apart the same way you put it back together again, except when you're taking it apart, you need to then put it, you know, I'm getting lost in the weeds. It's complicated. Yeah. And it's hard to fix. But that audience is sitting there, and then they're super excited to see Star Trek. I think it was Wrath of Khan. And, you know, all of a sudden their movie is inverted and upside down.
Oof.
You know, and so what? Are you going to burn Penn Cinema down? Like, you know, I think that
people, isn't that how the first Penn Cinema burnt down?
I went to see a Broadway show last year, I think. It was after COVID, but it was a little while ago, and the show stopped. It was Lion King, and the show stopped 15 minutes into it, and it stopped for so long that they turned on the house lights and said, we're having a technical problem. And we sat there with the lights on, everybody on their phones, like killing time for almost a half an hour.
Wow.
And I've seen a lot of Broadway shows. I know this is it was the first time it ever happened to me, but like, again, like, okay, so somebody screwed, you know, some problem happened. Like, yeah. I don't know. I just felt like the backlash was unwarranted.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they'll have it fixed for Wednesday. So if you're going to see it on Wednesday, good luck.
Yeah.
Sounds like it'll be, hopefully they put the wrong file on the hard drive.
I hope your local multiplex doesn't screw it up.
Yeah, seriously.
That'd be great.
Do they know how to use the hard drives anymore? That's the question.
I'm going to load the Spanish language version.
I'll show them.
Just to piss them off.
Yeah.
Hey, one last piece of news I threw on here real quick. We have there's an interesting thing happening in the domestic box office.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. Jurassic World opened and is now dropping. You know, like it normally would. Like, yeah. no big deal. It's that's what movies do. Top Gun is increasing.
Yeah.
I think Top Gun is going to be the number one movie this coming weekend. Elvis opens and Black Phone opens. Jurassic World still holds and Lightyear still holds. I think Top Gun, you heard it here first on the Penn Cinema podcast. I think Top Gun Maverick is the number one movie in the country this coming weekend.
Wow.
I don't want to say that's unheard of, but it's very rare. And it speaks to how much people are loving this movie.
Well, I think that had a big boost from Father's Day. I know a lot of people that went on Father's Day because it's a Father's Day movie. I also surprisingly know a lot of people going to see this movie that are not movie people. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, oh, I saw Top Gun. And even some of them that are like, eh. It's the fact that they got out and they saw it,
right,
is the amazing part.
Well, it definitely crossed that tipping point into being part of the national conversation. Like, you know, it's definitely crossed out of the movies and is like a phenomenon. Now, another interesting thing I want to announce and this is a real announcement, not a pretend one. Top Gun is coming back to IMAX.
Whoa, you heard it here, folks.
So this weekend, it's sort of easing its way back. We're sort of doing it one week at a time. This weekend, it has just the last show of the day. So it's like either 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. And then I am in the process of finalizing my negotiations with Universal and Paramount. Over the 4th of July weekend, I think in Lititz, Top Gun is going to play. I think that's going to be our IMAX picture.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be huge for...
Right? I mean, that would be great.
Yeah.
Anyway, so good for you, Top Gun.
Yeah. And there's our news for this week. Lots of stuff. And really... Like, all of that was news that we would have had on Sunday, so that's crazy.
Yeah, big week.
So now we're moving into trailers. Are you ready for this?
I was born ready.
Oh, geez. we have a big one this week. There's a local production company that makes, they're called Sight and Sound, and they make biblical theater productions. Huge, elaborate theater.
In their auditorium, in their massive theater.
Yeah.
Like a stage production. And I think they have one in Lititz, and they also have one in the Midwest, right?
Well, it's in Strasburg.
No. I'm sorry. Did I say Lititz? Yeah. They have one in Lancaster County in Strasburg, Pennsylvania. Yeah. And then they have another one that I think is like either Minnesota or Wisconsin or one of those, you know, Midwestern states. It's unrelated to the Penn Cinema podcast.
And these are huge. They're like wraparound,
massive production
stages, and like the animals in the aisles with you and stuff. Anyway, what they've been doing for a couple of years, probably started around the same time that this podcast started, probably a little bit before, they started doing theatrical releases of their plays.
So they would film their stage production. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And I remember thinking, oh, this is like whatever. This is just a local thing. And I remember what the first or second year we were doing the podcast, I went to Seattle and I had to watch the movie we were reviewing in Seattle. And there was an ad for Fathom Events bringing Sight and Sound productions to the theater. And that's when I was like, all right, okay. I guess this is much bigger than I thought. And apparently it's been doing well, because now they've decided to just skip the theater, the play theater, and go straight to theatrical movies.
Right. So this is an incredibly talented bunch of people, and they have a massive fan base.
Yeah.
And people take tour buses from very far away to come to Strasburg to see these shows.
Right.
So what they've done is this, and let's be clear, this is not instead of the stage productions. This is in addition.
Right.
Like they are growing, and they are now, I think you can say, they are now a movie studio. They're making movies.
Yeah, Sight and Sound Films, I think it's called.
Sight and Sound Films. And the first movie up is called I Heard the Bells, and it's a beautiful Christmas story. And obviously it has a strong faith-based background to it. And or element to it, and that comes out, it releases in theaters in December, and the trailer dropped the other day. I it was funny because I heard it from like, and because I know these guys out at Sight and Sound, and they're awesome people. It's funny, like my phone kind of lit up because you could tell that they like got the word out through the production company, like, hey, tell your friends, you know?
Yeah.
I got a variety of texts from a variety of different people, and it's exciting. It's really exciting to see the trailer drop.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is going to be, I think this is going to be big. I often poo-poo on the Christian films, and you're like, yeah, you know, you say that, but people come out. I think this is going to be bigger than those. Look, I'm going to be honest. It doesn't look like a movie that would be bigger than those, but it's going to pull the audience.
Yeah, I think this is one of those movies like, David, you're not their audience.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. The thing is I kind of want to see it because I know Sight and Sound. I'm like, I want to see what they can do. Like, just on that merit alone. And it doesn't look like a bad movie.
Yeah. So I'm privy to some of the clips because at our theater up in Ephrata at the New Main, we hosted, I think what they were calling their wrap party. So when this was a few months ago, and when they finished production, there was about 100 of them here, and they showed, the guy in charge showed clips to some of the people who worked on the movie, some of whom had not seen any clips. So I certainly don't have any special, you know, I haven't seen the movie, but I've seen clips of it in addition to this trailer, and it's really exciting. And this is a special... This is a special group of people, and obviously we wish them all the best. I think the movie's going to be huge in general, but also specifically in their hometown of Lancaster. I'm excited to open it at Penn Cinema, that's for sure. Hmm.
Well, moving on to our next trailer. We have trailer 2 for Puss in Boots: The Last Wish. Where do we stand on this, Penn?
Okay. Here's... As my friend Hal would say, let me say this about that. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
I think here's my problem. Let me tell you my problem. I got a problem with this. My problem is this. My problem with this is I feel like if it didn't have so much material that was in the first trailer, this would be my trailer of the week. Mm. The material that is new in this trailer was amazing.
Yeah,
I loved, you know, so the premise is Puss in Boots is down to his last life. Cats have 9 lives. You know, he says, the doctor says, you know, I think you died. And the cat says, that's great. I have 9 lives. And the doctor said, well, you know, how many have you used? And the cat says, like, well, I'm not really good at math. And all of this was in the first trailer.
Yeah.
But then this is also in the second trailer. But in this second trailer, we get glimpses of how he died 8 times.
Right.
All of which were pretty funny.
And we get a little bit more of the glimpse of, like, how he goes to basically a cat retirement home. And then Goldilocks and the 3 bears come after him.
You know what I didn't like about this? I didn't like the... What was that? Like an alien? Some giant, like...
What?
It attacks the house and, is ripping the roof off of it.
I thought that was the 3 bears attacking or something.
Why are they giants?
They're just big bears. Are you a big bear?
All right. This movie looks like it has good potential, and I want to be excited for it, but I need some more convincing.
Right, right.
Okay.
Now, for my trailer of the week.
The Brajas.
This movie, I want it to come so bad. And I think... Having not seen Saho and the magic that was Saho, you don't know, but this movie is Brahmaster.
I thought I saw Saho.
Did you see maybe you saw Saho. You definitely didn't see it when it first came out, because I remember Brahmaster visually looks amazing. The story looks insane. It's a Bollywood film, basically kind of like Avatar The Last Airbender, but different a little bit ways, and a guy learns he's like the key to using all the elements as weapons or something. I don't know. It looks ridiculous. Yes. Over the top. Insane. I can't wait to watch it.
Right.
I hope I don't forget about it, because I probably will. I want to see this movie. And it's only part 1.
Ooh.
That's what it says. Part 1 coming soon.
I missed that detail.
Yeah, well, you were probably so blown away.
Right, right. Yeah. My mind was literally blown, so I couldn't hardly see straight.
Right.
I tell you what did not blow me away.
What's that?
My worst trailer of the week.
Yeah.
Starring the worst person in the world, one Mel Gibson, from Lionsgate, which, like, oh, Lionsgate, come on, man. Anyway, the movie is called Hot Seat. And it looks like it's a takeoff on, like, Speed or any one of those movies where somebody's trapped to a chair with a bomb under it. And
yeah.
Did it look bad to you?
Or
am I being overly critical?
No, it looks bad. My question is, how much Mel Gibson – like, each time we see Mel Gibson in a movie, it's a little bit more of him, but it's consistently been Mel Gibson in like on at one set location,
right,
for the whole movie.
Right.
This one looked like maybe he's at two locations, or you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. This last movie is called I Love My Dad.
Is this your trailer of the week?
I don't know. I don't know that I have a trailer of the week. I guess maybe I'm going to say I Heard the Bells is my trailer of the week just because emotionally I know the people involved and they're like cool. And but this
week.
Movie.
Week. Yeah. What? I'm sorry. What?
I think. The movie doesn't look great, but the trailer did make me laugh.
I'm right there with you. Yeah.
Yeah. And if Patton Oswalt can be good, and who's his little friend, the sidekick whose name I never remember. This cast has potential and the movie could be good.
What's the
it looks
premise?
Corny. It's an interesting premise. Like, all right.
What is the premise? You going to tell us?
Oh, sorry. I misunderstood you. The premise is the dad gets unfriended by his son, right? And in an effort to reconnect with his son, the dad poses as like a girl and like reaches out to the son, and they essentially start having like a conversation online, and the son thinks it's one thing and the dad is just trying to connect with his son.
Yeah. He's catfishing his son so that his son can like get more confidence to talk to more women and stuff.
Right.
And it's really messed up.
Comedy ensues.
Yeah.
Well, the funny thing about, I mean, there's a lot of things that were funny about the trailer, but the interesting thing was it says at the end, what, based on a true story.
Yeah.
Like,
could not have ended well.
So imagine being the son, and now you're like, yeah, my dad made a movie about that time he did that incredibly inappropriate, crazy thing.
Story of my life. All right, moving on. You ready to review Lightyear?
Can't wait.
All right, here we go. Lightyear.
Speaking of dads.
What are your thoughts on this movie?
It was good enough.
Oh, okay. All right.
To me, like that's what I kept sort of coming back to. Like, I didn't love it. I tell you what I loved. I loved the first 30 minutes, first 25 minutes, whatever that was. And then I enjoyed the end. Like honestly, I could be more, I didn't love this movie, but I could get psyched for a sequel now that we've sort of established some of the characters.
I think a sequel would be much better. I'm right there with you. It's not a bad movie. Like I thought it was fine. Like enjoyed my time with it.
Right.
But it didn't feel, here's the weird thing. It didn't feel like a Buzz Lightyear movie and it didn't feel like a Pixar movie. It just felt like I watched an animated sci-fi movie.
Right.
And because it didn't have the heart that Pixar movies have.
Yeah.
Or Disney movies have. But at the same time, it didn't feel like it was pandering to me to sell me toys. And that's the thing. So at the beginning of this movie, it says in 1995, Andy got a toy. And this is the movie that Andy saw that made him want to buy the toy. Ironically, what I've been hearing from other like reviewers and stuff who are like, I saw it with my son who liked it, but has not talked about it since we saw it. And meaning that like, they're not obsessed with it enough to want the toy from the movie. It's not the type of movie that would make a kid want the toy.
Interesting. That's a really interesting point.
So I feel like it kind of missed a mark there. And we'll talk about, lore-wise, where it fits a little bit later, but it just as what it is right now, I thought it was fine. Like, I mean, I out of the two reviews points that we have, I've got to give it best movie ever because I didn't hate it.
Right.
So it's got to get a best movie ever, but it's a reluctant best movie ever.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah. It's a reluctant best movie ever. I will say, because I know that we like to talk about business on this show.
Yeah.
it kind of works out perfectly for us because it's a good, solid kids movie, and it'll carry the kids business a couple weeks, which is really all we need it to do. All we need it to do is bridge it over to Minions. Minions opens up on July 1st, which is next Friday, and like not this coming Elvis Friday, but the following Friday, actually Thursday afternoon. And Lightyear, by the time Minions opens, I can have Lightyear down on one screen, you know, and that'll suffice. That'll meet the demand, which is, you know, kind of perfect. Lightyear will be on one screen. Jurassic World will be on one screen. Probably Downton Abbey will still be on one screen. All that matter.
It apparently didn't perform as well as they thought it would as well.
Well, that's true. But listen, let me tell you something.
You're going to tell me something?
I'm going to tell you something.
Hold on. Everyone else stop listening. This is between Penn and I.
I've never told this to anyone before.
Okay.
The weather this week, the weather this weekend throughout the northeastern quadrant of the United States was perfect.
I can't believe it
was
you told me that.
Sunny. It was sunny. It was nice out, but not hot. You know, there was a nice, cool little breeze. And so all these markets, New York City, Philadelphia, Albany, Boston, Washington, D.C., all these markets, like, I'm just saying the weather didn't help this movie open.
You know, Pat, I just can't believe that you chose to share that with me, of all people, and you trust me enough to open up like that. I'm so touched right now. I can't. I love you too, man. All right, so Lightyear.
No, but for real, weather was a factor. Yeah. I'm telling you that weather was a factor in this movie. There were other things as well, but weather was a factor.
Yeah. So best movie ever, obviously.
Right.
Yeah. All right, moving on to listeners' questions, answers, notes, comments, suggestions, and top 10 lists, apparently.
David, do you have a sister?
I mean, we all have a sister. We all have at least a favorite sister.
A favorite sister,
yeah,
for sure.
We've heard about the greatest sister of all time.
Right.
I think that title was a little high.
Right. Right.
I mean, put people on the throne.
Right.
We're going to call her everyone's favorite sister.
Everyone's favorite sister wrote in and appropriately apologized for not labeling her top 10 list.
Right.
That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny last week because I was completely serious when I said I didn't know which way to read the list.
Right, exactly. And now we know.
Yeah.
And knowing is half the battle.
Right.
Go Joe.
So Rogue One was her number one.
Yeah. She apologizes for not putting it. Rogue One's her favorite movie, but not only her favorite Disney movie, her favorite movie, hands down, of all time.
Where does that statement land with David Moulton?
Very high, because I love Rogue One. And okay. I'm kind of in a minority there.
Interesting.
But she says she's way more into action movies than animated movies. In fact, if there aren't car explosions, car chases, or just explosions in general, she's not going to be into it, with the exception of animated films. And it'll probably get the worst movie I've ever seen rating. However, since we pushed her to the edge, she almost is about to break with our pressure, the peer pressure from the Penn Cinema podcast. She said, here's her top 10 animated Disney movies. And we're going to assume, since before number one was the top, we'll start at number 10 with Coco.
All right. Before we start, can I just say something funny?
Sure.
I don't remember asking anybody for their list of top animated movies.
We asked her for it last week.
Yeah. But
you don't remember last week. That's the problem.
That's what I'm saying.
It's not that you don't remember asking her for top 10.
David, it's not that I have a bad memory. I just choose to live in the moment.
Selective memory.
I choose to live in the here and now.
Oh, I see. That's so, so hippie of you.
Right.
You know?
Right. So evolved.
Yeah. So number 10, Coco. Then we got Lilo and Stitch. Then WALL-E. then Mulan, Toy Story 3, Finding Nemo, Frozen, Beauty and the Beast, Up, and one movie that I've been told I need to see, Emperor's New Groove.
I've never seen it either.
Yeah. I've been harped on pretty hard that I need to see that.
That's a pretty good list. Okay, so how do you feel about that list? Like, let's just go 10 to 2, since neither one of us have seen number one. Would you leave that in that order?
No.
What would you put? What would you move?
Well, first off, Wally might be not like close to number one, if not number two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Finding Nemo would be a lot lower. I've never seen Lilo and Stitch. Beauty and the Beast would probably be at number three. I don't see Little Mermaid on there, or Aladdin, or Lion King. That might be an age difference. I don't know if I'm coming from a different like generation of Disney or not. But yeah,
I got Wally number one and Up number two. Mm. So I'm on board with her putting Up where it is.
I don't hold Up very high because it's so sad and it makes me mad. The movie makes me so sad. Like, I couldn't enjoy the rest of the movie because the beginning of the movie was so good and so sad that I've never been able to enjoy the rest of the film.
Yeah.
So, on a side note, someone who didn't write in gave me the hardest time and told me I owed this person, I had done them a huge shame and a dishonor, and I owed them a great apology.
A public apology.
Last week, I referred to an actress that we both love as Anya Joy Taylor. Right. It's Anya Taylor Joy.
And I didn't pick up on that either.
Yeah. And this caused a great discussion because I was like, what in the world? This person has three first names. But no. Even I was misled, because if you look up her real name, her birth name, it's Anya Josephine, hyphenated, Anya Josephine, that's her first name. Her middle name is Marie, and then her last name is Taylor Joy. This woman's got five first names in her name. Greedy! Or her parents couldn't figure out, what are you going to call it if it's a girl? I don't know, Anya, Josephine, Marie, Taylor, Joy, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Oh, my God. All right, the mystery gobble wrote in. I'm going to never remember which it is now.
Right.
Now that you've corrected, I'm never going to remember.
It's going to be like Ichabod Elbow.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awful. She has now been ruined for me.
Thank you. Welcome.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Mr. Gobble wrote in full throated support for bringing Jaws to IMAX.
Yeah. He says it's his favorite musical ever. And I said, have you seen Joker too, though? It's going to put you on that. Going to put you out there.
Yeah. So he's excited to see IMAX version of Jaws. And he said it was his favorite musical, as you said a moment ago. And the reference that he reminded us of for the musical is the song they sing in the boat when they're getting drunk. And it says, show me the way to go home. I'm tired and I want to go to bed. I had a little drink about an hour ago and it's gone right to my head. He goes on to say, best choreography ever. So from now on, when somebody asks me my favorite musical,
it's going to be Jaws.
When the best sister ever, wait, what was her name? When everybody's favorite sister asks me for my top 10 list of favorite musicals, number one, it's going to always be Jaws.
Number one.
Yeah.
It's because the music and the choreography go together so well. Right. Right. So we heard from The Rise of the Queen Bee Soph.
Who is this?
She's new.
Okay, because I think I know somebody that fits that description. Is this a friend of yours?
No, I don't know.
Okay, I know who this is. That's great.
Yeah. Queen Bee Soph writes in. She says, I think I'm a week late on this, but I always refer to Jerry Seinfeld as the guy from the Bee movie.
That's so good. Yeah. That's so good. What did they write in? Wait, don't tell me. I can remember this. They said,
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford is the guy from Firewall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this goes back to
I think that's even better, but this is pretty great too. Jerry Seinfeld as that guy from the B movie.
Yeah. So weeks ago, for those who don't know, we were saying what are the things where you're like, oh, that's the guy from this, when they're much more famous from something else. And this was Queen Bee Soph's interpretation.
I referred to Ralph Fiennes as that guy from the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. Yeah, 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 yeah.
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 So that's great. Soap on a Rope wrote in, and always great to hear from Queen Bee Soph.
Soap on a Rope.
Yeah, isn't that a thing?
I like that, too. I was going for a nickname. I was like, Queen Bee Soph. Well, I was going to call Queen Bee Sophie, but her name's not Sophie.
It's got to be Queen Bee Soph because she referenced the Bee movie.
Right. I think that's probably. But yeah. Soph on a Rope was pretty good.
That's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Frodo wrote in.
Yeah.
With her take on Lightyear.
Yeah.
I got to pull this up. I accidentally closed it before. But I think her take was pretty consistent with ours. She didn't love it or hate it. But I thought she had some, as usual, some. Her sort of analysis was all about,
I got you. She was all about how it was, there was this established canon for Buzz Lightyear.
She referenced canon like six times.
Yeah. So what we're talking about, there's already been Buzz Lightyear animated movies and a television show that established this world with a character. That's the other thing. Buzz Lightyear in the movie was nothing like the toy. Like they didn't match up.
Right, right, at all.
Right, and the Buzz Lightyear in these things, in the animated films, is more like the Buzz Lightyear, the toy. And she was upset by that, which I understand. Like when you take, that's like me and Venom, you know?
Right.
You take this established thing and you take it out of canon and you try and convince people who don't know that it's what it really, you know, it's the real canon, and then you get upset. But her final conclusion for it, which I thought was good, she says, it might not be canon in my eyes, but I'll accept it as a well-executed fan fiction. And she said that it was, even though she doesn't like the stuff about canon, she thought it was a fine movie. She gave it a animated clapping gif.
Yeah, I think the two interesting points she made was she didn't like the cat.
Yeah. Which I love the cat.
Yeah, I did too. She said to her, it felt almost ancillary, which I looked up what that word means, and it means like additional, like unnecessary, sort of like an add-on.
Right.
And she went on to say that it feels like they tacked on the traditional Disney animal companion for the kids, which never appealed to her even when she was young. She thinks they could have achieved what the cat accomplished for the plot with something a bit less. And I'm quoting here, extraneous animal companion. So just chew on that for a minute.
Yeah.
And then her other gripe, I just love her turn of phrase. Her other gripe was, my main other gripes are in the abandonment of continuity.
Mm.
That would be like a great name for a novel. The abandonment of continuity.
Mm, time travel novel.
The Penn Ketchum story. But in this angle, I wanted to point out a really interesting point she made, which is that in the original Toy Story, Buzz's whole character is introduced to us as being the protector of the evil Emperor Zurg, sworn enemy of the Galactic Alliance, which does not line up at all with this movie.
Right.
So when, you know, it's just interesting. You know, as she said, there's a total abandonment of continuity. So I feel like it's generous, given the words that she shared, given, you know, everything we just talked about. I give her props for being able to see all through that and still recognize it for being a decent movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the best, not great, but decent movie.
Now, she also came at us for something else that was an opinion that I hadn't been primed to. We were talking about Mad Max Fury Road, and me specifically, I'm very harsh on this movie.
Talking about what?
Mad Max Fury Road. And I'm very harsh on why I don't understand why it was popular. and it is very popular. And she says, Mad Max Fury Road was so wildly popular, I'm pretty confident the answer is feminism, which is to say that the roles women play in the story they portrayed standing in the story in relation to men, plus having a protagonist with a disability that isn't framed as tragic, the absence of forced heteromantic subplot, the absence of some specific annoying female characterization tropes, themes denouncing behaviors and ways of thinking strongly associated with toxic masculinity, all lending the movie a feeling of realness that made it more vivid and engaging because the characters felt like people, more than like action movie cliches and caricatures. In fact, at the time, a lot of men slagged off on the movie because they saw it as a feminist and considered that a problem. I think probably that with women being 50% of the population, it makes sense why it was so popular, even if not as much as many men who watch action movies compared to other films. This is speculation, but I think the female audience probably caught more than up for the slack, which is interesting because I don't know any women who like this movie. Everyone I know who likes it is a man. And I never thought of it that way. I guess it just wasn't on my mind as much as I just thought of it as a bad action movie.
I want to.
That's a good point.
I want to rewatch this movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really interested.
That was a really interesting analysis, and it reminded me of some parts of the movie that were really great. Yeah. And I especially two things: the disability without the forced tragic, you know, element to it.
Right.
I thought it was really great. And I appreciated her insight into that. And I'm going to rewatch that movie because, as I mentioned a few weeks ago when this topic first came up, I love the Mad Max franchise. I didn't dislike this movie. I just didn't understand why it was so like crazy beloved.
Right.
But I feel like that's an interest. She makes a really interesting point.
She
so,
does.
Yeah.
Not for me to watch the movie again. I disliked it enough never to watch it again. But
no, I'm gonna definitely watch it.
I'll be interested to hear what you think. All right, let's move on. What are you doing? What's going on? What's been the wonderful wide world of Father's Day extraordinaire Penn Ketchum?
Well, I've been crazy busy, but we have a young lady living with us for a week or so, and it was discovered that she had never seen Ted Lasso.
Whoa.
So we are all enjoying going back to episode one and rewatching all of Ted Lasso, which not only you remember from my first review of it, I absolutely love this show, but it's so fun to watch a show that you love with someone who's never seen it.
You know why that is? Because only five people have Apple TV. It's like you and four other people. So
right.
She's like, I've never seen it. I don't have Apple TV because I'm not a weirdo.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. I saw Brian and Charles this weekend.
How was it?
I thought it was delightful. It's a little long in the tooth and not as like consistent comedy as you would expect from the trailer, but the comedy that's in it sticks really well. The lead role is like, I don't know why he's not in great things. He's just pleasant to watch and kind of like a delightful character. I left this movie with it having a good spot in my mind. You know, like, I'm not going to say you have to go out and see Brian and Charles. It's definitely not for everyone. It is slow. It is like not everyone's humor. People I saw it with, I know it was kind of like pushing their attention spans.
Would you say it was like a feel good? Did it have a feel good ending?
Yeah, it has a really good feel good ending.
Okay.
But it's very, very British. It was made in association with the government will fund certain movies as long as you make them in Britain. And it was very much a movie that was like primarily funded by that. Like, it's just
yeah.
a very, 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 very British for the British
movie,
people.
The movie did terribly commercially. Yeah. So if you want to see it, it's going to be at the theater for one more week, one show a day, every day at 11 a.m., if you want to see it, that's your chance.
If you like the trailer and you like British television comedy, go see it. I had a great time. If someone asked me, they were like, what's better, Brian and Charles or Top Gun? And I said, that is really tough for me to say, because Top Gun is a way better made movie. And if you were asking me, which is the better movie, it's obviously Top Gun, but Brian and Charles will stick in my mind way longer than Top Gun will.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
I've also been watching Doctor Who. I'm trying to get to the seasons I have never seen before, and I'm almost there. I've also been watching Ms. Marvel, which is apparently doing absolutely horrible on Disney Plus, but I'm finding to be perfectly great for what it is. I mean, it's aimed at a younger audience, and I think it's performing just what I imagined it would be, and I'm on board for more. So, yeah. Now, next week, what are we going to do?
I mean, Elvis, right?
Yeah, it's got to be Elvis.
Got to be.
It's got to be. So next week we'll be talking about Elvis. Look, if you want to tell us what you think about Elvis or anything that we said this week or anything that you saw and you just want to tell us about, or, you know, want to send us a picture of your dog or cat, that's probably going to be the highlight of my week. You better do it. It's podcast@penncinema.com. That's the way to get in touch with us. Or you can hit us up over on our Facebook page. There's usually a conversation going over there. Trailer Master Jason, thank you for sending in the Sight and Sound Theater trailer to us. He usually puts trailers up there every week that we talk about. So you can see that over there. Now, if you want to support the show, Penn, what's the number one way to do that?
Well, you know, anybody who's planning a good party,
anyway.
like we did here today, we had the gold balloons, we had the paper cups, the paper napkins, you know, all the decorations. But the key to a good party is a good soundtrack. So what you want to do is next weekend when you're going out to some like wild and crazy barbecue, like you're at a keg party and you're like, hey, what's up? I got it. I got the tunes. Let me handle the radio. And then, right? You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I mean, this is a good time.
And then
you want to have fun with your friends.
Right.
Right. You take over the radio and you tune in to your very favorite Penn Cinema podcast episode. You can even, like, if you want to have a wild time, you can even, like, go back in time and listen to our review of, what was that movie I forgot we played? Aladdin.
Aladdin.
We could, like, listen to our review of Aladdin, or, like, the episode where David referred to Dr. Biopic.
The best ones. This reminds me, have you ever heard the clip of where it's like, it's like some techno radio station. It's like, and then all of a sudden it stops for like a very British news. The Prince of Wales has just been announced dead. And then it's like, just goes straight back into the music.
I'll tell you what. Like George Costanza walking in with Pepsi and Ring Dings. You go to a party, you put on the Penn Cinema podcast, you are immediately going to be the hit of the party.
No doubt. Big no time. Doubt.
And listen, the other thing you could do while you're at that party.
Yeah.
Like, let's say there's some, you know, somebody's hogging up the sound system. So what you do in that scenario is you just tell your friends, listen to the Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah, it's easy.
That's all. It's easy.
Well, all right. Once again, for the Penn Cinema podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And we forgot to tell people.
What?
Recording live from downtown Ephrata, 124 East Main Street, coming at you. I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care.
Take care and party on.
We'll be live together next week. Don't worry.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Buckingham Palace has announced the death of His Royal Highness, the Duke of Edinburgh.